I wanted to talk about the ECG diagnosis of acute pericarditis. And I'm going to begin with a quote from Dr. Steve Smith, who said, "You diagnose acute pericarditis at your peril." Now, what I believe Steve means by this quote is the simple clinical reality that although acute pericarditis does occur, if you take all patients who present to an emergency facility with new onset chest pain and ST elevation on their ECG, the overwhelming majority of them will not have acute pericarditis. Acute pericarditis is just not a common clinical entity. Most of these patients who present to the ED with new onset symptoms will have acute coronary syndrome or a repolarization variant. And some may have acute myocarditis. But despite the fact that acute pericarditis remains one of the most commonly cited diagnoses by clinicians who work in emergency care, acute pericarditis is relatively rare in this clinical setting. First point, we need to rule in acute pericarditis in these patients rather than having to rule it out. Along the way, we need to rule out acute coronary disease. We simply can't afford to miss an acute MI because we mistakenly think the patient has pericarditis. So our mindset needs to be to rule out acute coronary disease before we even think about making the diagnosis of acute pericarditis. Second point. There are three components to making the diagnosis of acute pericarditis. The ECG is only one of these components. The other two components are the history and the physical examination. So when contemplating a diagnosis of acute pericarditis, keep in mind that the history is important. The overwhelming majority of pericarditis cases in which previously healthy younger adults present to an ED are viral in etiology, often called idiopathic because we don't know the specific type of viral infection. So the chance that your patient has the uncommon clinical entity of acute pericarditis statistically goes up if your patient is a previously healthy younger adult who has had symptoms of a recent viral illness. Without this type of a history, statistical likelihood that your patient has acute pericarditis, which is uncommon to begin with, becomes even less likely. Note, there is a big list of other diseases that may cause pericarditis, including infections that are non-viral, such as TB, bacterial or fungal septicemia, immunocompromise. Other diseases that may cause pericarditis include uremia, malignancy with metastases to the pericardium, collagen vascular disease, and many more. It's noteworthy that pericarditis in patients with one of these other causes generally have a different kind of disease. These patients tend to be older and have a much more severe course than the younger adult with acute viral pericarditis. Third point, do not ignore the physical exam. The chest pain seen with acute pericarditis tends to be pleuritic in nature, often increasing with inspiration because of associated pleural inflammation, as well as positional, often relieved by sitting up, and exacerbated by lying supine because this stretches the inflamed pericardium. But by far, the most common mistake I see is forgetting to carefully listen for a pericardial friction rub, that scratchy superficial sound like walking on snow that may come and go, but which is cited in the literature to be present in more than half of all patients with acute pericarditis, at least at some point during their clinical course. The importance of carefully listening for a rub is that if you hear a pericardial friction rub, then you have made the diagnosis. There is no longer any doubt. Yet in my experience of participating in literally hundreds of international ECG internet forums in which the diagnosis of acute pericarditis was strongly suspected, it is rare that I ever see even mention of the clinician having listened for a rub. And if in the written chart or in the oral presentation, the clinician doesn't specifically say, "No rub heard on auscultation," to me this means that no rub was listened for, which means that the clinician has lost the best chance they will ever have to make a definitive diagnosis of acute pericarditis. Fourth point, most of the time the echo will be normal. Now, an echo should always be done when suspecting pericarditis, and an echocardiogram is a superb modality for detecting even small amounts of pericardial fluid. But acute viral pericarditis, which is the most common kind of acute pericarditis, usually does not produce any abnormality on echo, because the thin pericardial membrane usually does not look abnormal when inflamed. And uncomplicated viral pericarditis usually does not produce significant pericardial effusion. So definitely do an echo, but realize that the echo will probably be normal and that this does not rule out the possibility of acute pericarditis. Fifth point, what do we look for on ECG? ECG changes with acute pericarditis are divided into four stages. The easy way to remember these four stages is that in stage one, everything is up. By this, I mean that the ST segment is elevated in almost all of the leads, except perhaps in one or more of the three right-sided leads, which are leads 3, AVR, and V1. In stage 3, everything is down. That is, there is diffuse T-wave inversion in virtually all of the leads. So if ST segments are up in most leads during stage 1, and T-waves are down in most leads by the time you get to stage 3, what do you think ST segments and T-waves will look like during stage 2? And the answer is that ST segments and T-waves may look relatively normal. This is often called pseudonormalization, as you are capturing an ECG passing through normal during a time of transition from diffuse ST elevation on the way toward diffuse T-wave inversion. It's important to appreciate the existence of this second stage because it explains how the ECG may sometimes look surprisingly normal in a relatively recent case of pericarditis if you happen to capture an ECG during the second stage. Finally, in stage 4, there is resolution of diffuse T-wave inversion and the ECG may return to normal. Note, the amount of time for evolution through these four ECG stages of acute pericarditis is highly variable. It may take hours to days to weeks or more. And, practically speaking, the only one of the four stages that is diagnostic of acute pericarditis is stage 1, in which there is diffuse ST elevation. The ECG looks fairly normal in stage 2, and the third stage with diffuse T-wave inversion is indistinguishable from ischemia. How then to distinguish the ECG of acute pericarditis from acute MI, or from a repolarization variant? The answer is that this is not always easy, which is why I placed so much emphasis earlier in my talk on the history, and on carefully listening for a pericardial friction rub, and on statistics, remembering that acute pericarditis is so much less common than acute coronary syndromes and repolarization variants. That said, the following pearls may be helpful when looking at the ECG. First, new Q waves are not seen with acute pericarditis. If you see new Q waves, then this suggests infarction. Acute pericarditis does not produce reciprocal ST depression. For example, if you see ST depression in each of the inferior leads, then this is an acute infarct until you prove otherwise. Pearl. Unlike acute MI, you generally do not see T-wave inversion in acute pericarditis while the ST segment is still elevated. Remember, the generalized elevated ST segments seen in stage 1 of acute pericarditis tend to come back down to the baseline before you see the third stage of diffuse T-wave inversion. So if you see beginning or significant T-wave inversion in several of the leads that still show ST elevation, this suggests active evolution of an ongoing acute MI. A final pearl, the picture of ST elevation in lead 2 tends to resemble what we see in lead 3 when there is acute MI, whereas the picture of ST elevation in lead 2 tends to resemble lead 1 more than lead 3 with acute pericarditis. I'll end with a word on acute myocarditis. Here, all bets are off. That is, as opposed to uncomplicated acute pericarditis, you can see almost anything on ECG when there is acute myocarditis or acute perimyocarditis. That is, you may see Q waves, ST elevation in various lead areas, and ST depression and or T-wave inversion in other areas, with these ECG findings not always respecting the usual rules for lead localization. Therefore, the diagnosis of acute myocarditis can be extremely problematic when you see a younger adult who presents with new onset symptoms with positive troponin and with a markedly abnormal ECG that suggests acute infarction. We have to accept the reality that sometimes it simply will not be possible to distinguish between acute MI versus acute myocarditis until you do cardiac catheterization. In such situations, it's best to be working together with your on-call cardiologist, who will probably end up taking your patient to the cath lab to be sure not to miss an acute MI.